uniting the racist with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. Good morning. Welcome to the third hour of the show today, heard around the world by everybody and their mama. And I do appreciate it. You can get involved by calling 888-7753-773, 888-77-JESSE. To the callers, I'll get back to you in a minute here. I have a guest with me, I got to talk to my guest. My biblical question, what are the steps to believing in Jesus? I have in studio, my guest is R.S.D. Madison, and he is a pickup artist, dating coach, YouTuber, and public speaker. He's a part of a company called Real Social Dynamics, which teaches men how to pick up women at clubs and other social places. That's amazing. Welcome, Madison.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
R.S.D. Madison. Thank you for coming in, man.
Indeed.
And so you teach men how to pick up women?
Well, there's a lot of things that happen. I think the first thing is a lot of people don't feel comfortable in their own skin, men and women. And it goes on, goes very silent, very quiet. Not a lot of people know about it. And these people that feel this way, there's not really a resource for them to turn to. And so that's where I come in. I have a lot of social experiences, bars, lounges, nightclubs, dealing with people that have social anxieties, people that have low self-esteem, low confidence.
What happened to men that they lost the know-how of picking up women? When I was growing up, no one ever taught us how to date.
Right, right.
Or how to talk. What happened to men that they lost the art of dating?
Mm-hmm. Good question. Very good question. I think it all starts back to rituals, right? If you look, you know, back in the day, if you were a man, you were 18 years old, you were enlisted in the war, or if you're part of a tribe somewhere, they would have a ritual where they'd put you out into the jungle and you'd go with your spear. And then once you had this spear, you'd eventually kill an animal, come back, you're part of a man, part of the tribe. Now, these rituals don't exist anymore. Now the modern day thing is very common for a man to stay home and somebody else in the family, he's cutting coupons, and somebody else in the family is maybe bringing in money and stuff like that. So men, we don't have this niche community anymore.
But I never had a spear. I never went out into the jungle. But, you know, like when you're growing up as a man, as a boy, you're growing up, become a teenager, and then you start noticing women. You just naturally go get women. You just start talking to them at school or at play or wherever you are, right? And then as you get older, you start going to a club or something. You just talk to women. What wrong with men that they can't just do that naturally?
Yeah, I think a few things happened. One of the things that happened is there was more single parents. A lot of that contributed to it a lot, right? So you, like for me, example, I came from a single parent household. My mom and dad got divorced when I was 2 years old. Never really even met my father at
all. I'm sorry to hear that, man.
Oh, it happens. It happens.
You know, you need to find your father, though.
Oh, I've reached out to him. I've reached out to him. Okay. Yeah, I have absolutely reached out to him. Yeah. And since I became kind of popular on the internet, my estranged brothers and sisters literally have reached out to me. I found I had four or five brothers and sisters later on. So that's the story there.
Amazing.
Yeah, amazing. Internet can do amazing things.
That's right.
And finally, you had family you didn't even know you had.
I'm telling you.
And so I didn't have my dad around at all.
What was it like not having your father? What that felt like within?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, my mom took the place of dad as much as she could.
But she can't. Women can't be your dad.
Can't. Right. So she tried to, like, get me involved with guys that were either, like, in the church community or guys that were in her family.
But the people in the churches are messed up.
some of them are. I mean, they did the best they could. They did their best intention, right? That the best they could, and there was really no replacement. So I found myself when I was younger. This is like in my teenage years, trying to date and just really not knowing how to relate to women in that age.
Amazing.
You know, and my mom would say a lot like, you know, just when somebody's mean to you, just do what Jesus would do, turn you the cheek, or like the best way is to buy a girl flowers. You know, like I just try to do whatever my mom told me to do, and it didn't really work out at all. And it was great information for her generation when she grew up, but not great information for the Western world.
So how did you figure it out?
Oh, to be honest, I hit rock bottom at first. You know, like I remember one of my first girlfriends when I was 16. She was Native American, and she had a really abusive household.
She was an Indian.
Yeah,
like one of the Indian.
Yeah, yeah.
That's like amazing. That. Like, why would you date an Indian?
We were in school together. Oh. We were very good friends.
Okay,
and then we ended up like becoming good friends and talking together and seeing each other, and then. You know, but she had that culture had a lot of issues. She had aunts, uncles sniffing glue, doing, you know, gasoline. it was crazy. So now to go to see her sometimes, I try to like help her out. She's like, no, I don't want your help. And I just had very unsuccessful situations in school. Yeah. And then I think even in school, the first girl I remember this, she was this girl from Yugoslavia, first girl I liked, I told her I liked her, but she was the girl of the school bully. This is grade 4. And so in grade 4, I tell my best friend about this. He's like, all right, we'll keep it a secret. 6 months goes by. End of the year, he decides to just blurt it out to the whole school. And everybody's like, whoa, oh, my gosh. And I go, why'd you tell her that? Why did you tell her? The school bully has goons even in that age. They hold me by the arms in the coat room. And she walks up to me and says, I heard you like me. How dare you like me? Slaps me in front of the face in front of the whole school.
Wow.
So, you know, I mean.
Did you slap her back?
Of course. So, first of all, I was tied down. And no, I don't hit a woman.
If they hit you, you won't hit them back?
I think, you know, nowadays in my older knowledge, I use example. You don't see rabbits going up in the woods and attacking bears.
Right.
Right?
Right.
But for some reason, it's okay for a woman to use physical
So if a aggression. Woman were to hit you, would you hit her back or would you just take it?
I think it depends on the context, right? It depends
Period.
On the context. Yeah, it depends on the context. I don't think it's a cut and dry thing. I think it depends on the context.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Amazing.
Yeah, like if I got in a fight with a guy or like a colleague of mine, like, you know, I wouldn't hit a whale on a colleague because that colleague, there's a business relationship there, right? You got to think about the long-term effects. So I'm always looking at the big picture.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Things. Yeah.
So let me go back to the pickup artist. You met Joel, right?
Yeah, just on the way in.
My audio engineer. He's black.
I noticed.
So let's say Joel going out tonight to a club, he and his little buddies, right? And they need advice how to pick up a girl. What would you say to them? What are the steps to doing that?
Yeah, first thing, you know, people say, just be confident or just be yourself, which is great if you are already confident. Otherwise, it's kind of like loose, vague advice.
Right.
I'd say the first thing you want to think about is not getting this loop of asking too many questions, right? Because when we get nervous, we ask questions. We're like, what's your name? Where are you from? How'd you get here? Okay, and what are you drinking? What's that? And we get into this loop of questions. So the first thing a guy could do is just turn his questions into statements. Statements give, we say it's called giving value. Because at least it's a statement, it's some opinion. And there's a little bit of fact and a little bit of meat for the other person to chew on. You know. So instead of like where you're from, it's like, hey, you look like you're from Washington or Chicago. I get the vibe that, you know, I get the vibe that da-da-da. It looks like. You kind of weave in some statements. And that's a good way to get a conversation going. Observe something about the person and what they're doing. Try to show some social intelligence. Be nice to their friends. Introduce them to your friends if you're there with a group of people. The whole vibe is to try to like not make it where it's them versus you, but it's everybody working together to have a great time no matter where they're at.
Why are men today afraid to approach women? It's just a woman. It's not God.
Yeah.
It's just another human being, no better than you.
Mm-hmm.
She want whatever you want from her, she want it from you. Why don't they just talk to her? It's not like she's important.
Yes.
Why are they afraid to talk to women? They have to do all that just to talk to another human being.
That's a very good question. You know, I think about that a lot. I think about that daily. And I think it's because men have hidden intentions or we shame our
intentions. Slide over just a little bit.
Yeah, sure.
Okay,
I think men either have hidden intentions or we hide our intentions.
Yeah.
Or we're shamed.
I know what it is. You're right about that.
So I'll explain it in the way I see. You tell me if you agree.
Okay.
Hidden intentions. You know, like at a bar, if a guy says, "Hey, I want to buy you a drink." Now he could be saying, "I really want to get to know you and talk to you," and this drink allows us to talk for a few minutes.
Yeah.
But then there's another percentage of guys that's like, it's just like, "Hey, I'm just trying to get some action. I'm trying to just get in your pants." And so then what happens is the women then think that all guys, their immediate intention, if he buys her a drink, is to get in her pants. Now, on the flip side, men were not really comfortable embracing our sensuality, right? Like, for example, a man, if he has a big body, he's kind of out of shape. What's that called? dad bod. But if a girl's kind of out of shape, she's kind of big. What's that called?
Fat.
No, voluptuous.
Oh.
Right? It's framed in a positive
they
way.
They renamed it.
They renamed it.
It used to be called fat.
Back in the day, the times have changed. Now it's called voluptuous, right? If a woman wears a push-up bra to work, that push-up bra it doesn't increase her intelligence.
Right.
It doesn't make her smarter in the workplace.
Right. That's right.
But it's allowed. Right? So in the same respect, why can't I walk down the street in Speedos, right? Why would that be inappropriate misconduct?
So I know what it is.
Yeah. I can tell.
When men meet women, mm-hmm. they only meet them for one thing only, sex. They don't care about their brains. They don't care how much money they have or don't have. They only meet them for sex. And so if they didn't want something from the woman, they would just talk to them like any other human being they would talk to, and whatever happened after that would happen. But because they want something, they're trying to sneak up on her.
Mm. Yeah, I agree. I agree with that.
If they didn't want the sex, it would be like talking to anyone. Mm-hmm. Talk to a stranger or a guy or something. You just talk to these women. And then later on down the road, if it led to sex with her, that'll work out.
Yeah.
But they're afraid because they have a hidden agenda.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
I agree that there's an agenda. Absolutely. And I think it also could be recognition. They want the approval from the woman, the validation to say, hey, am I good enough?
They do want that.